Genesis 41. Genesis 41, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 57. Genesis 41 and verse 1, these are God's words. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept, and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me inward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew servant to the guard, the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the 1st 7 fat kine, and when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came up, and 1 stalk full and good. And behold, 7 ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kine are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the 7 thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh 2x, it is because the thing is established by God. and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store in the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain around his neck, about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee! And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field which was round about every city, laid it he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, He hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses, and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph, for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. That's God's word. One thing you ought to notice is, the bigger picture of the whole thing is that God is sovereign over the land, over what food we have, and over prosperous times and famine. God brings all of that. God brought the famine here. He's brought famine throughout the earth many times. As we consider all that's happened to Joseph in the great trials and sufferings, he was cast into the pit by his brothers, sold into slavery, put in prison by Potiphar. We remember 2 Chronicles 16, it says, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Perfect in union with Christ, that is upright in Christ, that he directs the affairs of all peoples for the benefit of those few whose hearts are upright in him. And so, yes, the benefit of us as children, even as we go through a multitude of trials in this life, The first 8 verses, we see the dream of Pharaoh. And the butler who Joseph helped and interpreted his dream finally remembered Joseph. Remember at the end of the last chapter, he forgot Joseph, but many years after this, he remembered him. And the butler recommended Joseph to Pharaoh. And then through verse 36, Joseph interprets the dreams which show 7 years of abundance and 7 years of famine. You see in verses 33 through 36, Joseph gives advice as to what Pharaoh ought to do, and even to appoint a man over the land of Egypt during that time, and to direct the gathering of extra provisions during that time of provision and abundance, so that Egypt would be fed in the time of famine. And he noticed, beloved, in the passage that even before Pharaoh, who believed himself to be a god, right? He believed himself to be God. Joseph is standing before Pharaoh, who is self-proclaimed as God. And he says, Joseph, interpret the dream. And Joseph is, there's a temptation there, if you didn't know it. There's a temptation there to not give glory to the Lord. But Joseph, by God's grace, stands firm, as we ought to do in all of our temptations and trials. Joseph stands before Pharaoh, who says he's a god, and he says, no, God will interpret it. Which means, Pharaoh, you're not God. Verse 28, he says, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Well, if Pharaoh was God, he would know this. But he's not God. God knows all things. Similar wording in verse 25, but you look at verse 32, it also says, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God. And God will shortly bring it to pass. It's not only God who interprets the dream, it's God who's going to bring the abundance. And it's God who's going to bring the famine. And so pay attention. Beloved, in all our trials, think of even in the book of Acts, always give glory to God. Always, in all your blessings, give glory to God, to the Lord. Then, through verse 45, that Pharaoh placed Joseph over all the land, second highest place in all of Egypt. The rest of the passage is Joseph at work. He doesn't become rich and then is lazy in those riches. He's working to prepare for the famine, in which he had 2 sons before that, Manasseh and Ephraim, which would become 2 tribes of Israel. And then when the famine came, Joseph was able to help not just those in Egypt, but the surrounding nations, peoples who came for food, in which that will go to also his family to come. Beloved, our God is merciful. He's also the God of common grace. We see that here as well. He shows a common type of grace. Not a saving grace, but a common type of grace to all peoples. Even by helping those who, during the famine, needed food. And raising up Joseph to help them. Learn this. Learn who it is who rescues you from dark providences. Who it is that brought you out of bondage and when you were imprisoned in sin, who brought you out? Or who is able to bring you out? And set you at His right hand in union with Jesus Christ. It's our God. Not Pharaoh. It's our God who saved us through Jesus Christ by His Son. And so all glory goes to Him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You too can be brought out of that bondage to sin and redeemed unto the glory in Christ. Well, how? By turning to Christ and believing on Him to save you from that bondage. You are to turn to Him. You are to do so immediately and give all glory for the rest of your life, for all eternity, to the Lord alone. In trials and in blessings. Glory to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we give You praise. We're thankful for this, the Lord's Day. The day we have that great privilege to rest in you from all the cares of this world. So, Father, keep our hearts focused on you. Keep our hearts focused on your Son, Jesus Christ, and His sacrifice for us. Now, you are the great God who have saved your people through that final sacrifice, our Redeemer, who is our Lord, Jesus Christ. Father, uphold us. Oh, we're thankful that you bless your people. You've blessed all of us here. Even those who rejected you, you've blessed by your common grace. But of all those who have rejected you, call them to yourself. Bring them to your Son, that they would see His blood spilt, that they would see His sacrifice for them, if it be for them. And you would give them faith and work faith in them by your almighty power and by your grace. That none here would leave today, if it be your will, that they would leave today apart from that saving grace and that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we would all understand and agree and believe that we are sinners in your sight, in bondage, at least at one point we're in bondage and slavery, slaves to sin. Yet, Father, we pray that you would save us from our sin and clothe us with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Give us new clothes. That picture in this chapter we just read of that being brought out of prison, out of bondage, and having new clothes put on and being cleaned and washed as Joseph was to come before Pharaoh, except we come before you, a great God of all creation, the God who has sustained all creation for thousands and thousands of years, who will bring us to eternity and glorify us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray that you would sanctify us. Where we have not glorified you, we've just lived our lives and been very earthly focused and have been filled with those vanity of vanities under the sun. Father, we ask that you would cleanse us of our sin and help us to look above the sun. Help us to look to you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the one God, perfect in all your attributes, in your holiness, in your goodness, even your truth. We thank you for your wisdom that you provide to us through your word. We ask that you would grow us in wisdom. Father, we pray for the church. We pray for this congregation that you would continue to sanctify us and cleanse us of sin and that grow us in that way. Grow us spiritually. Grow us to have that faith where we believe. Help our unbelief. Or we hate sin, help us to hate it all the more. And help us to love righteousness. And love holiness. Because that's what you love. And that sin that you hate, help us to hate too. Father, we pray also that you would grow us in number. That the gospel would go to more people. That we would have the great privilege and ability by your grace alone to plant more churches. As weak as we are, we pray that you would help us to plant churches, that more of the gospel would be proclaimed to more people, and that your kingdom would come at the right time. And so we pray for all those church plants and also churches without ministers. course, we pray for our sister congregation at Shawnee, as they are close to us. Father, provide a minister for them soon. Give them the consistent ministry of the Word by a shepherd that you have raised up. And give that shepherd boldness and strength and faithfulness to your Word, which is needed in our day. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the world and the churches throughout the world. Sanctify her through your Word. Those who are persecuted, give them strength. Give them boldness to continue, even in the face of temptation, just as Joseph had in this chapter. Give them all boldness. Give us all boldness to state the truth that you are the God of gods. And all those other gods are false. Father, this day we do pray and ask for your help. Be with Adasa. That you would continue to heal her. We're thankful to hear about that you are healing her. Some. And we give you all praise for that. We give you praise and we're thankful and we give all glory to your Son Jesus Christ, who is the healer. Who, just as he healed Jairus' daughter, so we pray that you would do so, if it be your will, you'd do so with Adasa. Give her lungs that are strong to breathe on her own, in which we praise you that she's able to breathe on her own now. Pray that she'd be able, if it be your will, that she'd be able to breathe without extra oxygen. Provide her the necessary oxygen she needs, and that she'll keep breathing. We pray for her brain, that you will heal her. We're thankful that even just a couple days ago she started to make more noises, in which doctors surely will doubt and say, oh, it's just reflexes or something like that. But they are not. Those very noises declare your praises. And point us to you. That you are the creator of our bodies, and you are the sustainer of our bodies. You're also our healer. So uphold her. Pray that even and by the end of this week, if it be your will, that she'd be able to come home, and that Michael and Audrey and then the rest of the family and any of us who are able to help may help her and serve her. And that, help us to remember that you did not come to be served, but to serve. That we would follow your example and your way. Pray also that you would heal her soul, if it is not already healed. You bring her out of bondage, if she's not already out of bondage to sin. As we pray for all of our children, even those who have gone far off and played the fool and proclaim that there is no God. That's obviously not true. Pray that you would bring them all to yourself, that you would, of those who have gone out from us, you would plague them by your word that they've heard, the gospel, and that it would be judgment unto them by such a plague until they can do nothing but believe. So send your Holy Spirit, if it be your will, send your Holy Spirit into our children, to all of us here who hear, who have ears to hear. Grant us your saving grace and sanctifying grace. And pray also that you would continue to uphold Michael and Audrey and the rest of the family. You would grant them wisdom and strength and comfort, peace, and above all things to give glory to your name in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.